The reading before the lesson this morning will be from Hebrews 8, 1 through 6. Hebrews 8, 1 through 6. Now this is the main point of the things we are seeing. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also has something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises.
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I am very thankful to be a part of such a great worship service, and I hope that you are as well. This morning, as we have been talking about the fundamentals of the faith, we'll continue to talk about those things that I believe that are necessary for us to understand God's will even more. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about according to the pattern. According to the pattern. And I had Hebrews 8 verses 1 through 6 read with the emphasis on verse number 5. However, we'll be looking at some things before we get to the book of Hebrews. But I want us to be considering these things because as we consider patterns, I want us to be thinking about days of old when we consider some of the patterns of life. I remember when I was a kid and often when mom wanted to make us some clothing, and they did that back in the day. We made our own clothing. And we would go to the store. We would go to Woolworth or Kmart or some type of fabric store, and we would buy patterns. We would buy the material for the clothing. And I remember on those particular occasions when we would buy some of the patterns in the clothing, it wasn't all that fun back then, but looking back now, it was very educational. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought about some of the patterns. You know, some of the patterns were like Simplicity or McCall. I don't know, maybe some of the older generation remember some of those patterns. Well, as I was pondering this, it made me think about how mom used to tell us, okay, take the patterns out, and I want you to line them up on the bed and then iron each one of them so they're nice and flat. And so we would iron those particular patterns and get them nice and flat for mom. And then what we would do, we would take those patterns and we would pin them to the material. Y'all remember that? Pinning the old patterns to the material. And, of course, we would make backpacks and we would make jeans and shirts and things of that nature. And what mom did not allow us to do, we was young, she wouldn't allow us to cut them. She would cut them. But then she would also sew them. And we would sit there and we would watch. And it was very interesting how didn't matter. Of course, it was three boys and two girls, four boys and two girls. And we would make clothing and make jeans and coats and all of those. And sometimes she would make us all the same jacket or the same jeans. So we would look alike sometimes because we made them. But I found it very interesting that what was made for me was also made for Ray and made for Daryl and so forth and so on. And I found that very interesting. They all looked alike because we all use the same pattern. Different materials, same pattern. Then that caused me to think about some things as I'm getting older now because, of course, Dad would have us build things and we would construct things and put things together and he would buy a barbecue pit or some type of tool and we would have to assemble that. Well, one thing I do understand about men and women, they are a little bit different. You know, women, for some reason, pay closer attention to detail. Men like to look at boxes. I don't know why we like to look at the box sometimes. It's like, well, it's close. And why is it that it's always some nuts and bolts and screws and things left over? Well, it kind of makes me think about Christianity sometimes. Sometimes instead of looking at the blueprint, looking at the directions, the instructions, sometimes we just want to look at other people. But in order for us to really understand the instructions, the pattern, in order for us to really see what's going on inside of the directions, friends, we have to be able to look at the instructions. Do we understand that God is the same way? He is the exact same. God himself is consistent. Remember on occasion he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8 talks about the Lord there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is one of pattern. I find it very encouraging, very humbling that our dear brother, Brother Brian, as he was talking about the Lord's Supper, talked about, in essence, a pattern. This is how they did it. And here it is, 20 centuries later, we're doing it the exact same way. God is one of pattern. This ensures consistency. It ensures stability. It ensures structure. I was talking to a good brother the other day, and he says, I love structure. And I appreciated that. Because God is a God of structure. He's a God of pattern. When we consider the God of heaven, we understand that even in the beginning, God operated by way of pattern. We know exactly where God is coming from. We know exactly how God thinks about a matter. And so in the beginning, as God is operating by a pattern, we find it very interesting that in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 23, that God made male and female. We find that very interesting that when he made the male, made him from the dust of the earth and put him to sleep and brought forth the woman. Kind of reminds me of when God was ready to bring the animals inside of the ark. In Genesis 7 and verse number 2, the time of the flood. Here, God brought the male animal, and the Bible says, and his female. God is a God of pattern. And because God is a God of pattern, we understand that when God was creating the heavens and the earth and the particular time frames of time, I find it very interesting that every single day had an evening and a morning pattern. And any time you get away from patterns, especially patterns that are righteous, patterns that are good, patterns that are holy, you will develop a pattern that leads you to idolatry. And so when we consider, again, Adam, he would say, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Why? Because she came forth from the man. We see a pattern that when Adam knew his wife, that she brought forth a son, called him Cain, brought forth another son, called him Abel. We know the story of Cain and Abel, brought forth another son, Seth. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Here's the point. When we think about male and female coming together, there's a pattern of procreation. That's the pattern. And the pattern is that after Adam and Eve would have Cain and Abel and Seth made in the image of Adam, Genesis 5 and verse number 3, that's been the pattern ever since. Which means that man and man cannot follow that pattern and have a child. A woman and a woman cannot follow that pattern and have a child. It requires a male and a female. Thus following the pattern. And every time a child is born,
It is a reminder of the pattern of man being made in the image of Adam, Genesis 5, verse 3. Friends, God is a God of pattern. When we think about the seed promise, we understand, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 11, that every seed produces after its own kind. An apple seed will produce apples. We know that an orange seed will produce oranges, so forth and so on. Brother Mike, why are you making this point? Why can't you just make that point and move on? Because apparently even the world cannot understand that patterns mean something. Patterns mean something. Genesis 8 and verse 22, we see the same thing. That times and seasons will continue to go forth until God sends his son. And I find it very interesting that times and seasons, even at the time of the flood, are still the same today because of the promise that God made to Noah and the earth as it relates to putting the bow in the cloud. Friends, God is a God of pattern. But what patterns did God use? What patterns did God use? When we think about some of the patterns, and we understand that patterns are designed to be followed. Patterns are designed to be obeyed. Patterns are designed to be used. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 14 and 15, when it was time for Noah to make an ark, you remember sin had encapsulated the world, saturated the world. Now God is ready to destroy the earth with water. And he was going to be saving Noah and his household by this ark. And God told Noah, something very interesting. In verse number 15, here, notice what the Bible here says. And this is how you shall make it. He did not leave it up to Noah to come up with a pattern. He gave him the pattern. Again, Brother Brian brought out something I haven't considered. That if there's not a pattern, then chaos ensues. When there's not a pattern, anything goes. But not with God. God is a God of structure. He's a God of stability. He's a God of pattern. And so we notice in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22 that Noah did exactly what God said. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. When we think about the pattern and the great job that was before Noah, Noah did exactly what God said to the last piece of wood, to the tar, the pitch, to the door. He did exactly what God told him to do. In Genesis 7:5, we see the same thing. Divine patterns, listen to this, friends, are designed and given to obey and follow. It's not up to our discretion. It's not up to what we hope, feel, or think. God is a God of pattern. But then we see another pattern that God uses, the tabernacle. And the reason why I was considering the tabernacle, because when we get into Hebrews chapter 8, and I just want to draw out that one little verse, but it was so hefty as it relates to Jesus Christ being high priest. And Jesus Christ being high priest didn't take it upon himself. It was according to a pattern. It was according to what God desired. In Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9, turn your Bibles there. Won't keep you there long. Just want to make a few points. In Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9, it was time for the sanctuary, the tabernacle, to be constructed. God would have all of the materials brought by those who had a good and honest heart, those who were willing to offer for the tabernacle gold and blue and red, scarlet red, and everything that was needed. But I find very interesting in verse number 9 of Exodus 25. as it relates to the pattern. According to all that I show you, Moses was going to be shown by God. That is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Moses was not going to be the one that was going to come up with the blueprint. God was going to come up with the blueprint. God gave him the blueprint. If you look at verses 10 through 22, as it relates to the Ark of the Testimony, it would be God that would give the blueprint. Verses 23 through 30, with the table of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, and he gave the reason why. It was going to be for the showbread. If I could say it like this, what we see here. The table, if you will. But it was to be overlaid with gold, not with bronze, not with silver or whatever they wanted. It had to be overlaid the way that God wanted it overlaid. The golden lampstand, verses 31 through 39. Now, I find it very interesting that it had to be hammered. And six branches were on that, made with pure gold. But look at verse 40. And look at the strength of what God said. And see to it, he's talking to Moses, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe we see pattern. God is a God of pattern. And any time that people get away from what God says, one is going to have some problems with God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I want us to make just a few brief points about the book of Hebrews from chapter 1 to chapter 8. When you think about the book of Hebrews, you think about brethren, members of the Church of Christ who had obeyed the gospel, and now because of persecution, they are threatening on going back under Judaism, which was the law that brought them to Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 and following. However, that law had been nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14. Therefore, that law did not exist anymore. And so for them to go under a system that was designed to bring the New Testament system, Romans 7 and verse number 4, that the people of God can now bear fruit unto God. Friends, they were putting themselves in grave danger with God. And so when we consider some brief points, number one, we see that the book of Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus Christ. When we think about the superiority of Jesus Christ, that means that he is superior, he's number one. Number two, when we think about the book of Hebrews, it demonstrates Jesus Christ as being faithful over his house. 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, the Bible demonstrates to us that the house is the church. But it's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 3 verses 1 through 6, that he is faithful over his house. Moses was a servant in his house, not over his house. That's a big difference. It's a big difference. Another point to ponder in chapter 4 and 5, we see that Christ would be our high priest and that he knows exactly what we're going through. And because he was in the flesh, friends, he knows how to go to God on our behalf. You know what that means? That if we study Christ, we know how to go to God on behalf of one another and even the world. He's our example. Friends, don't miss that point. Maybe people don't know how to go to God on behalf of others because they haven't really looked closely at how Christ went to God on behalf of others. Wow. In chapter 6, it demonstrates the righteous life of Christ and his entering behind the veil for us. Once a year, the high priest would go into what is known as the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of God. And here, that would be once a year, and he would make an offering for his sin and the sin of the people once a year. But Christ, who committed no sin, was able to go behind the veil. As a matter of fact, he would tear the veil in two upon his death, if I can say it that way. Thus being on the right hand of the throne of God forever until he returns. In chapter 7, we bring up Melchizedek, according to Genesis chapter 14, who Abraham, when he was coming back after the slaughtering of the kings, the fighting of the kings, he offered a tithe unto Melchizedek, having Levi in his loins. Go back and read that and study that. Here's the point I want to make. It's interesting that Levi, in the loins of Abraham, was offering a sacrifice to Melchizedek. And here come the pattern of Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek, which makes him greater, his tribe greater, of Judah greater than Levi. That's the pattern. Friends, that's the pattern right there, that we're not going to Moses, we're not going to Aaron, we're not going to the high priest of Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Friends, we're going to Jesus Christ. That's the pattern that God has left us. Stay with me. We consider these things, friends, and God has given us a beautiful pattern to follow. Christ, the pattern to imitate. He's the one that we're imitating. He is high priest. He is sitting at the right hand of God. How do we imitate him being high priest? 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. Friends, we are a royal priesthood. Him being high priest, he's holy. We're supposed to be holy even as he is holy. We'll talk more about that later. But here we're to imitate Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, ministering to the true tabernacle of God, which is the church. And unlike men, he offered up himself instead of a sacrifice. This was according to the pattern that was given to him. To him, friends. Jesus had a pattern to follow, God in the flesh. And we have a pattern to follow, and we're not God in the flesh. If God in the flesh had to follow a pattern which came forth from his Father, we too must follow a pattern that came forth from the one who sent his son, Jesus the Christ. Wow. Friends, patterns are designed to be obeyed and followed. Why? Because when we follow them, we succeed. I see why so many are not succeeding today. Because they're not following the pattern. Are we following the pattern? Are we following the patterns that God has left in his word for us? We talked about the Church of Christ last week and some of the great things that the Church of Christ does as it relates to New Testament scripture. Not based upon our opinion, our beliefs, what we think, what we hope, what we feel, but based upon what the word of God says, which is a separation from denominationalism. Friends, we're not making any apologies for that. We don't apologize for that type of language. Why? Because in the eyes of God, according to Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 13, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. God never had denominationalism in his mind. That's man's business, not God's. And so we have to keep that in our minds. And so when we consider some of the plans, the pattern, number one, I want us to talk about the pattern of holiness. The pattern of holiness. The only characteristic, friends, listen to this. The only characteristic that Satan cannot imitate is holiness. Even sinners love, according to Luke chapter 6, I believe it's verse number 33, somewhere in that area. A sinner who could care less about God can love, but can't be holy until they obey God. Satan cannot imitate holiness. Why? Because in order to imitate holiness, that requires the word of God. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Holiness is a separation from that which is evil, sinful, diabolical. Satan cannot cast out Satan. Therefore, he'll never be holy. He'll never be holy. Which means that if I'm following after Satan, I myself am not holy. This requires James 4, verse number 4 through 7, to depart from evil, to draw near unto God. And Satan will flee from you. A pattern of holiness requires me separating myself. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. A familiar passage of scripture, passages of scripture for those of us who are members of the church. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. These are the words of God himself. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God, why has you given us a pattern of holiness? Because I want to be among you. Friends, watch this point. Turn your Bibles back to Exodus 25. Why did God give a pattern for the sanctuary, for the tabernacle? Why did God want everything to be according to what he said? In Exodus 25 and verse number 8, we have the answer. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Which means that if they didn't follow the pattern for the tabernacle, God is not coming there. If we do likewise, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God is not dwelling among us. We live in a time and have been in a time for a long time where people think that they can live in sin and still have fellowship with God. To the contrary. It's to the contrary. God is holy. Scares me all the time, friends. When my mindset is not where it needs to be on a consistent basis, and I say, Mike, what are you doing, fool? Now, I'm talking to myself. Because I understand that God is consistent and he's holy. This old preacher, he's long gone, Lord willing, unto his reward in Abraham's bosom, Andrew Conley. Andrew Conley used to always preach on holiness, that we gotta be holy. Too many are not being holy, attaching themselves to the world, dressing like the world, talking like the world, thinking like the world. Friends, the Christian must separate themselves according to the pattern. According to the pattern. It requires us knowing the word of God again. And so, according to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ. Believe when we stop and we consider that, we ought to be thinking about how we can follow after the Christ. Friends, are we following the Christ? Are we following the Christ? Are we following the pattern that Paul has left us? Are we engaging in the new man like we're supposed to? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 through verse 32. There's much to be said there. But I want to talk about, number two, the pattern of preaching the gospel. One thing I can't stand, and I'm not the standard, but I can't stand a bunch of stories being told from the pulpit. Get up there and handle your business. Get up there and preach the word. Get up there and glorify God. Care about where you went on vacation. Care about what you got on underneath your hat. What we care about is what thus saith the Lord. One old preacher said on one occasion, when the Lord's people assemble, they don't assemble to hear commentary. They don't assemble to hear your opinion. They assemble to hear the word of God. They assemble to hear the pattern of God. That's what we ought to be preaching. Romans 1 and verse number 6. Romans 1 and verse 16, rather. I'm thinking of something else. I'll be there in a second. In Romans 1 and verse number 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. Since the gospel, the euangelion, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the church of Christ, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, friends, since the power is in the gospel, that's what we ought to be focusing on, is the gospel. Well, I think I can allure them this way. No, we need to preach the gospel. God's word will not return unto him void. When we stop and we consider, look at Romans 6, verse number 16 and 17. I want to show you a point. And right now, unless you have Blue Letter Bible where you can look it up real quick, take my word for it, go back and do what the Bereans did and check it. But in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16 and 17, notice what the Apostle Paul says by inspiration. Friends, it's about a pattern. It's about a pattern. He said, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But watch this. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, past tense, yet you have obeyed from the heart, here it is, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. The word form, there is the Greek word tupos, the idea of imprint, the idea of pattern. When we think about the impression that an imprint or an impress makes, it leaves the very thing that impressed it, which tells me that in order for me to make a holy impression upon anyone, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, must first make an impression upon me. The pattern of preaching the gospel is that we're going out and we're preaching the good news. Good news should encourage. Good news should make joyful. Good news should be ready to share. Good news should be pointing people in the right direction. And no wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Why? That's the power of God to save. Friends, do we understand? Maybe you're visiting with us. Do you understand that the gospel makes Christians and Christians only? It doesn't make hyphenated Christians. There are some women that when they get married, what they do is they'll say, have their name and then their maiden name, then they'll put a dash and then they'll have their married name. Well, that's fine, but God don't work that way. You are a follower of Christ. You are a Christian. I'm not trying to be ugly, mean, but just being right here. I'm not a Catholic Christian. I'm not a Baptist Christian. I'm not a Muslim Christian. Just a Christian. And so no wonder in Acts 11 and verse number 26, after the Gentiles obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Remember Agrippa when Paul was talking to him, almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian. Acts 26, I believe is verse number, Acts 28, verse number 26 or 26, 28. And remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16, if any man suffer as a Christian. Now I know sometimes that might be a little bit harsh, but friends, it shouldn't be. That's the truth. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important that it first must make an impression upon me, and then I'll go out and make an impression upon them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that separates men and women from their sin. The gospel includes the blood of Christ. The gospel includes Jesus Christ. You can't have none of those without the gospel. And so what we see is a pattern. We see a pattern in the book of Acts showing baptism being the response to the gospel being preached. Acts 22 and verse 16. I believe in Psalm 13 conversions. I'll get the word out. 13 conversions in the book of Acts. And all of them include the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother Royce, all of them include baptism for the remission of sins. All of them include them being added to the Lord's church, the body of Christ, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. Talked to someone the other day, and as we were talking, I said, I want you to look at the book of Acts. Just read it. And I want you to see how did they obey God? How did they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And did they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Last, but definitely not least, according to the pattern, the Lord's people. And we need this point right here, friends. You saw a pattern of hope. Colossians 1 and verse number 5, we stop and we consider that. Got many more passages for us to consider. But in Colossians 1 and verse number 5, notice what Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, because of the hope which is laid up where, friends? For you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where is our hope? It's in heaven. When we consider the pattern of the New Testament church, can you imagine being like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, being gnawed on by his own brethren from a Jewish perspective, having stones cast on upon him, hitting him all over, and he has the strength to look to heaven. Friends, watch this. And ask the Lord, do not lay this to their charge. Receive my spirit. Sounds like his hope was up there, not down here. Some of my own brethren now have lost hope by preaching and teaching a renovated earth. They've lost their hope. Our hope is in heaven where Paul said it was. Our hope, according to Acts chapter 24 and verse number 15, is in the resurrection of the dead. We're looking forward to that day, John chapter 5, 28 and 29. Are you looking forward to the resurrection? I am. Looking forward to that day where we'll meet the Lord in the air. Friends, we see a pattern of God's people having a hope, an expectation, a longing. They knew to patiently wait for this hope, according to Romans 8 and verse 25. Look at Galatians 5 and look at verse number 5. You can correlate these two passages as it relates to the waiting aspect. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 5, remember he had just said that you can fall from grace. Be careful. You don't want to do that. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? The hope that is waiting for us, the pattern that we see from the people of God, that they're persevering, they're hanging in there, they're striving to wait for God. Don't you give in, and don't you give out. You wait. You wait. And so look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21. Notice what Paul says by inspiration. He just said this to the church at Galatia. He said that to the church at Colossae. He's consistent. He's consistent. Philippians chapter, did I say 1? Yes. Verse number 20 and 21. Let's put in 19 as well. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Watch this. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul, what are you saying? I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to keep my eyes on the hope. Why? Because that's all I have. That's all I have, friends. The pattern that God has demonstrated to us as it relates to the Lord's people is holiness. Preaching the gospel. Having a hope. The hope. But what other hope do we have? Look at 1 John 3, the first three verses. In 1 John 3, the first three verses, here John, our brother, would say these words. Behold, what manner of love has God bestowed upon us, that he shall call us the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. We shouldn't be surprised by that even today, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Watch this verse. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Do we want the resurrected body, the same body that Jesus Christ has right now, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, friends? Stay with the pattern. Because those who don't stay with the pattern will end up like the rich man in Luke 16. But those who stay with the pattern will be like Lazarus. He is comforted. And so, when we think about the pattern, we want to make sure that we stay with the pattern. For Jesus, or the Hebrews writer, was told even by God through the Spirit, see that you make things, these things according to the pattern. Question, what pattern have you been following? What pattern have you been following in the home, child rearing, on the job? Have you been an example to those who are outside of Christ? Can people see your life and say, that's a Christian, that's a child of God? I can tell there's something different about you. Why? Because of your speech. Because of the consistency of your belief in the scriptures. I told the young people today in class, I said, I have a few passages that if any of my conclusions violate, I just X that out. John 10:35, the scriptures cannot be broken. If at any time my conclusion breaks the continuity and consistency of God, I X that conclusion. I X that. I don't even think about it no more. It's not even a thought process. Why? Because God is consistent and that's his pattern. Friends, be consistent. Well, what if I sin, Brother Mike, and people see that I've sinned? Well, stay with the pattern. Repent. And when you repent, confess. And when you do that, demonstrate to the world fruits worthy of repentance. That's the pattern that God has given us. People know that we're not perfect as it relates to being sinless, but we're perfect as it relates to being in Christ. That's the perfection. And as long as I stay with Christ, I'll be all right. As long as I stay with the pattern. So maybe, just maybe, we can help some of our friends in the world see that the pattern in which they're following is the reason why they're going down the road they're going on. Stay with the pattern. If you're not a child of God, we want you to behold the pattern. What pattern? The pattern of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. God, what will you do? I'm going to forgive them of all of their sins by the blood of my Son. I'm going to add them to my Son's church, the church of Christ. They live faithful even to the point of death. And I'll give them the crown of life. I'm consistent, been doing it for 2,000 years. I'm going to keep on doing it. God is consistent. So what about these other churches? Not trying to be mean, but they don't belong to God. Friends, we've got to stay with what belongs to God. And when we stay with what belongs to God, whether it's in the home, whether it's religiously, whether it's in our mind, friends, we will succeed. But maybe you're a child of God and you've been inconsistent with beholding to the pattern. Well, let's get back to the pattern. And we ought to praise God that he has offered us repentance. When Simon the sorcerer sinned against God in Acts chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, Simon Peter didn't tell him, you're on your way to hell because you sinned against God. No, he said, repent, lest the thought of thine heart be forgiven. God, what did you offer Simon the sorcerer? Even though he just obeyed the gospel and he wanted to purchase the Holy Spirit with money, I offered him repentance. That's the pattern. And I told the young people, final statement I'm going to make, that if you truly want to be right with God, when you repent and confess, leave it behind you, because God is faithful and just to forgive. Learn to forgive yourself and move on. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.